It is with incredibly profound feelings of sadness that I dedicate this morning's Divrei Torah to the blessed memory of Fega Zisel Aleha HaShalom, Bas Marta Avram Sheyichia, the daughter of a very dear and personal friend of mine, who passed away just last night in Yerushalayim. It is our tefillah that the family be granted an achama, that her neshama should have a tremendous aliyah in Gan Shalmaila, and that Klal Yisrael know no more tzaras. Our parsha, Parshas Vayikra, is the first in a series containing the intricate details of the karbanos. Each occasion throughout the year required a different configuration of karbanos. Each Shabbos and Yom Tov and every particular life cycle gave a renewed opportunity for people to visit the Beis Hamikdash and offer karbanos. In a time when we are not privileged to have these opportunities, it's extremely important that we remind ourselves of the special significance of the karbanos, even in our times. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Vav tells us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assurance that even throughout the years when there will be no Beis HaMikdash and no Mishkan, we will still be granted the opportunity to offer karbanos by learning and reciting the relevant halachos of the karbanos each and every day. Karbanos is a part of the Siddur that's often glossed over and not taken so seriously, but it's extremely important and it's something that should not be ignored. The Gemara tells us in Menachos Daf Kuf Yud Amid Aleph, Kala Osik B'Toras Chatas, one who recites, one who busies himself with the parshios of the Karban Chatas, Kilu Hikriv Chatas. V'Kala Osik B'Toras Asham, Kilu Hikriv Asham. If we simply recite the Mishnayos, that detail about the Karbanos printed in the beginning of every Siddur, it will be considered as if we have actually offered the Karbanos in person. The Marsha comments on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Lule Sorascha Sha'ashuai, Az Avadati Ba'anyi, says the Marsha, if not for the Torah which grants us the opportunity to make up for the Karbanos in these long years of Galus, we would have been destroyed and annihilated, as there would have been no opportunity to grant ourselves forgiveness in the Galus. This fairly simple opportunity is a great gift, but at the same time, it carries with it an awesome responsibility. It means that each and every one of our mouths serves as a personal Mizbeach. The Pasuk writes in Parsha Shoftim, Losita lecha ashera, etzel mizbach Hashem elokecha asher tasa lach. One dare not plant a tree of Avodah Zarah within close proximity to the Mizbeach that he makes for himself. In his Sefer Igra Dekala, the Bnei Yisoscha writes that the words asher tasa lach, that you will make for yourself, seem to be extraneous. What is being added by these few words at the end of the Pasuk? Of course the Mizbeach was built for us. So what do the Psukim mean when they say, Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Elokecha Asher Ta'aselach? And he suggests that this Pasuk is making reference to the years that Klal Yisrael find themselves in Galus. The years when we have no Karbanos and no Beis HaMikdash. The times they will have to make their own mouths serve in the place of the Mizbeach by reciting the Parshios HaKarbanos every day. And it is to those generations that this Pasuk speaks very loud and very clearly, that they must be careful that everything surrounding their mouths is absolutely pure. Be sure not to create an Asherah, Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Elokecha Asher Taselach, that you make for yourself. Those generations that make their own Mizbeach, that make their mouths their own Mizbeach, those generations specifically need to keep focused on what they're missing in life. They cannot have vested interests in other pursuits that may take them away from the opportunity to sustain their personal Mizbeach. Having our own personal Mizbeach is an incredible blessing, but at the same time, it's an awesome responsibility. Although the halachas of Karbanos, as we'll see in the coming parshiyos, are quite intricate and specific, there are a few halachas that are uniform to all Karbanos, be it animal offerings or flour and oil offerings, and one of those staple halachos is found in this week's parsha. The pasuk tells us, Kol sa'or v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu isha la'Hashem, which means, one is forbidden from offering a glazed karban, a karban that's glazed with honey or any type of sweetener, nor may he offer something which is made of yeast or leavened bread. The Ramban on Chumash suggests that this is simply because the pagan sacrifices were comprised of salt, of honey and yeast, and we need to separate ourselves from their practices as much as we possibly can. Regarding this iser of putting sweetened honey or putting yeast inside of the karbanos, the Gemara tells us that if a sweetener would have been added to the karbanos, the smell would have been so pleasant and so enjoyable that people would have fainted from its potency. The Gemara then asks, Mipnei ma ema arvin badvash? So why don't we add some sweetener? Why don't we make it a little more enjoyable? To which the Gemara simply answers, Mipnei sha'amra Torah, because the Torah says, Kol sa'ar v'chol dvash lo saktiru, simply because the Torah said no. Very strange question and answer that's recorded here in the Gemara. Does the Gemara ever ask, for example, why don't we do malacha on Shabbos? And the Gemara would give an answer, because it says, lo sa'asa kol malacha? We all know the psukim in Chumash, so what was bothering our Gemara when it came to the iser of putting a sweetener into their karbanos? And what is to be learned from this strange conversation, this strange back and forth that we find with regard to this mitzvah? There's a famous story told about the Imre Emes, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai Alter from Ger, that upon being chosen as the Rebbe, the first initiative that he instituted for the Hasidus was that everyone daven in the proper Zmanei Tefillah. Shachris needed to be davened before Zman Kriya Shema, Mincha needed to be before the Shkia, and Maariv needed to be davened at a reasonable hour during the evening before Chatzos. There were many Hasidim who were unhappy and opposed to this ruling, as they were functioning just fine, waking up late and davening when they wanted, without having to watch the clock, but the Imre Emes was insistent that each and every Chassid follow the new rule and daven within the proper Zman Tefillah. One very Erlich Hayid approached the Rebbe and filed a complaint that was completely unexpected. You see, this Yid said, every morning I wake up before the sun comes up. I prepare myself for so long before davening that I simply am not able to daven within the proper Zman Tefillah. I go to the mikveh, I crack the ice, I shovel the snow, and then I sit in shul purifying my thoughts and readying myself for the tefillah. I would like to follow the new rules of our Hasidus like everybody else, but my preparations make my davening so enjoyable and so sweet that I can't imagine what a davening experience might feel like without doing these preparations. What does the Rebbe suggest I do? I simply cannot daven within the right Zman Tefillah because I'm busy with my preparations for the davening. And the Rebbe responded with our Gemara, which discusses the prohibition, as we said, of glazing honey or sweeteners on the karbanos. As we said, the Gemara tells us that we do not add any sweeteners. Why? Simply because the Torah said not to add sweeteners, and it is for that reason alone that we refrain from doing so. Said the Imre Emes, no matter how sweet something might seem to us, no matter how well-intentioned and no matter how good it makes us feel, if the Torah says no, then the answer is simply no. This is one very important message from our Parsha. The Imre Emes writes that we need to trust and believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up an absolutely perfect system with everything in place for a perfect life, and any additions on our part, as wonderful as they may sound to us, and as well-intentioned as they might be, they may in fact detract from the Torah and not add to its greatness and its beauty. We have so much discussion in contemporary writings about the issues of sensational Judaism, we'll call it. People want to observe mitzvahs in a way which make them feel good, and only on their own personal terms. But that's not what makes the rules, and that's not what the Torah is about. We're meant to find the beauty within the mitzvahs of the Torah themselves, and the Torah is certainly not left up to us to determine what might seem from our perspective as being more or less sweet. In Parsha Shmini, we read the unfortunate story of Nadav and Avihu, the two great tzaddikim, the two illustrious sons of Aaron HaKohen, who lost their lives in the Mishkan while doing Avodah. And the Mefarshim all tried to pinpoint exactly what the wrongdoing of these two tzaddikim actually was, and now is not the time to get into all the different suggestions. Perhaps Parsha Shmini will discuss it. But some suggest that their mistake was a fairly simple one. If you look throughout the parshiyos of the Karbanos, we're told repeatedly, Ka'asher Tziva Hashem, as Hashem commanded, and perhaps some explain that this was the only mistake made by these great tzaddikim, Nadav and Avihu. Yes, they wanted to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, they wanted to enhance the activities in the Mishkan in a positive way and bring more excitement and energy to what was going on there. But the Pasuk says there, Asher Lo Tzivahu. They did something that they were not commanded to do, and that territory is a very dangerous one. things that seem sweet, and as an enhancement in our minds, might in fact destroy and ruin our entire observance. This is one very important message from the Psukim regarding the Se'ar U'Dvash on the Karbanos. But there's another insight I would like to share with you, made by the great Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon, famously referred to as the Shaul Lemeshiv. Kol Se'ar v'chol Dvash lo saktiru. Se'ar and Dvash, he suggests, represent two very opposing extremes. The honey, which is overly sweet, and the yeast, which is overly sour. About both of these approaches, the Torah warns, Lo saktiru mimenu ishe la Hashem. Neither of them are welcome, and they are not considered viable options in being an Eved Hashem. There are people, he explains, who are always happy, always loving, always giving, and they have no discretion at all. They offer the same levels of compassion to everyone, and they give everyone equal opportunity. There are others who are always sour, more negative by nature, always seeing the faults of other people and never giving others the benefit of the doubt. Both of these extremes, explains the Shaul Lemeshiv, are very unhealthy. And about both of them, the Pasuk says, Lo saktiru mimenu isha la Hashem. Neither of these outlooks are considered favorable character traits at all. If one wants to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he needs to be balanced and tempered. One of the great Tanaim of all times was Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Lai, a Tana who's mentioned in almost every Masechta and Shas, and who is known as the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. About him, the Gemara tells us in Masechas Tainis Daf Lamed that on Erev Tisha B'Av they used to bring him a stale piece of bread that was doused in salt, and he would sit in an exceptionally uncomfortable place, wedged between the stove and the furnace, while eating his bread and drinking his water. And the Gemara says, V'hayadome kimi shemeso muta lefanav. The expression on his face was as if he was attending the funeral and the interment of his own child or his own father. What a way to get into the mood of Tisha B'Av. What a sensation. What a dramatic description that the Gemara gives of an individual who appreciated and sensitized himself to the gravity, the magnitude, and the significance of the most unbelievable national tragedy in history. But let's turn our attention to yet another eloquent illustration that we're told in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Hei about this very same person, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Lai. Says the Gemara, you want to know how he spent his Friday afternoons preparing for Shabbos? The Gemara tells us that every Erev Shabbos his students would bring him a tub filled with warm water, which he would rinse his face and his feet, and he would get himself all clean. Then he would wrap himself in exceptional and exquisite robes for Shabbos, and then the Gemara ends off, V'hayadome l'malach Hashem tzivakos. The expression on his face was one of angelic and cherubic nature. What a way to enter into the holiest day of the week. How a person can immerse and saturate himself in an experience to the point that he's suffused with the feelings and emotions of the time. This is the greatness of the human being. This is the great challenge of balance and equilibrium that we constantly are faced with. To temper our emotions and determine when and how they should be expressed. We're expected to shift perspective sometimes very drastically and allow ourselves to experience sometimes conflicting feelings with the same intensity and enthusiasm. And I believe that this is why the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel that Rabbi Yehuda was the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom, because he was the leader and primary spokesman on all issues that surfaced in his generation. He was a person who conquered this challenge and reached that perfect equilibrium. He was able to strike the perfect medium in every situation, regardless of its nature. His emotions were subject to his own thoughts. And that was what made him great. And this is what has the potential to make us great at all, to dominate and control our emotions, and to govern and dictate how they will respond. These are some very practical lessons that we can learn from the opening parsha of Karbanos. To appreciate, number one, the beauty and the wholesomeness of the Torah, and to balance our emotions and make sure that we govern over them and evoke them as necessary. We should not have them to either extreme, not to the extreme of Se'ar, and not to the extreme of Dvash. They always need to be tempered and balanced properly. Karbanos are not something of the past. They are a reality for us in the present. We have the special opportunity to recite them every single morning and create our own Mizbeach by doing so. Let's try and emphasize these very important pages in the Siddur and show the Ribbono Shel Olam how much we yearn for the opportunity to offer the real karbanos in the Binyan Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, Bekarav Bi'Ameinu, Amen Ve'Amen. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.